Good morning. Welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. What a beautiful week we've had in the garden. Hope you enjoyed it as well. My vegetables appreciated the rain. I got a little bit more than Tom, and I was able to harvest tomatoes and peppers. But I've had some issues, so I'm going to ask Tom what he thinks I should do. With the rain, my rain lilies popped right up on schedule. Have you heard about rain lilies? You can grow them in any zone in Florida. I also bought the most glorious Rose of Sharon. It's called White Chiffon. I'll tell you about it. We're also taking your calls at 407-916-5400, or you can text Tom anytime at 23680. So join Tom, Joni, Colton, and me for this hour of Better Lawns and Gardens on Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Hi, Teresa Watkins here for Black Cow, the mature manure. Most good gardeners know how to get great results. Sun, water, and fertilizer, along with the right soil. Cow manure is the best way to condition your soil. Black Cow is all natural, and it's the best fertilizer with 10 times more manure and nutrients than the other guys. Pick up that bright yellow bag today.
Black Cow, the mature manure. Black Cow.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
If the lines are busy, please try again. 1-888-45-LAWNS. Tom and Teresa will be right back.
Are you responsible for leading others? Do you struggle with getting everything done? If you answered yes, I hope this will help. When it comes to successful leadership, few things are more important than delegation. There's a great story in the Bible, Exodus chapter 18. A wise father-in-law of Moses is instructing him, saying, "The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. You need to appoint others to help that are qualified." You see, God was showing him that successful delegation means choosing the right people for the right task. This empowers people, giving them authority equal to their responsibility. And delegation involves being there to help with the problems and following up on your team's progress. Accountability. God's Word shows us that one of the keys to successful leadership is delegation. This is Bryant Wright, speaking right from my heart.
For more on this and other topics, visit rightfromtheheart.org.
Have you written a book? You can become a published author with Dorrance Publishing, the nation's oldest publishing services company. Countless authors have trusted Dorrance for nearly 100 years to bring their book to the market. Our professional team will edit your text, design your book pages, and create an appealing, eye-catching custom cover. Plus, our authors benefit from a custom book promotion marketing campaign that makes your book available where people buy books, like Amazon and brick-and-mortar bookstores. So make this free call right now to claim your free author's guide to publishing. Don't wait another day. Take one step closer to realizing your dream of becoming a published author and seeing your name in print. You've already written a book, so the next thing to do is make this free call right now to Dorrance Publishing and get your free guide to publishing. Call right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Good morning and welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author. Joanne, a garden club member and a dear friend, sent me her brother in Pennsylvania's announcement on a new garden protective gear. Now, that's not his announcement. They just sent me the article, but it prevents bugs from getting to you. It's called a wearable bug pod. But I have to say, Tom, it's going to take $1 million offer for me to traipse around outside in it.
You've got to get that posted up so people can see
I'm going to post it today on our Facebook page.
Yeah. So, Colton, Joni, and I can see it. And it just kind of screens you. It's like a walking screened in area. I can't believe that people are going to wear that. But you know they will.
They will, but it We'll talk a little bit more about it in just a little bit. But we have Rico in Valcarey, who is got a squirrel solution for us. Good morning, Rico.
Hello, Rico. How's everything in Valcarey?
It's good, Tom. How's everybody there?
Hey, we're all here. That's half the battle. And they say we don't have to wear a mask now, so it's okay.
We're good.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I haven't been wearing one ever since I got my two shots, and I quit wearing a mask. Anyway, let's talk about squirrels.
Yes.
I have more than a dozen mango trees, and it's a constant battle with the squirrels. And there's several ways you can help control them. The first one is the friendly way, where you use small have-a-heart traps baited with peanut butter.
Okay.
You can catch a few that way and then relocate them to a park that has oak trees and stuff. That's the friendly way. The effective way is to set up a bird feeder near your mango tree or trees, and pick them off either with a pellet gun or a .22 if you're out in the country like I am. And then they're very good to eat. So I have a friend that comes over when I get like half a dozen, and he makes a squirrel stew. And then
I've eaten squirrel.
Every once in a while, he brings some over to me.
Yeah,
but I get like three. I get three or four a week.
Wow.
And they keep coming. I mean, I don't know where they come.
Well, then know you're feeding them.
So you need to hire out, Rico. You need to put a sign up that says you'll take care of the problem.
Yeah, well, I have enough trouble with my own place here controlling squirrels there, and they're smart. You know.
Oh yeah.
If you put the traps out, you gotta move them around a little bit here and there because they seem like they learn from their deceased brethren or their trap brethren not to go into the trap after a while. So
you
got to do tricky little things, but the peanut butter seems to be the best bait for trapping them.
Yeah, what you have to do, Rico, is when you trap one like that and you release it, you paint its tail blue before you release it and see if it comes back. Because they said they can find their way back. I don't know.
Well, you got to go several miles. I don't know. I have a lady up the road. She traps them, and she won't kill them. She says she can't kill them. And there's plenty of people like that. That's fine. But if you take them to a park like 4 or 5 miles away, they don't come back.
Yeah.
Right.
The trapper.
Dogs or cats or stuff.
The trappers do have places where they can release. And they have agreements.
They have a license
to do that. License.
If you do not have a license, it's against the law to relocate them.
Yeah, we don't want to see you in jail.
Like,
well, I tell you what,
raccoons also eat your mangoes and stuff. And so I have various raccoon traps that I use to take those, and you're not allowed to relocate them.
No, that's right.
No, you don't want to do that.
I tell you what, Rico.
Euthanize.
If you get put in the slammer, we'll bring you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
And then I want
a
coonskin.
I've been doing this for about 25 years, and it's so far so good.
Rico, you got to make me a coonskin cap then.
You know, I think of all of the tails that I should have saved, because I think I'm up over 100 coons over the past 20 years or so.
The Animal Society is going to be up against us.
Hey,
you know, the only thing I haven't really come up with any good thing is the armadillos, which get into people's yards and lawns and dig holes all over the place. I haven't found an effective way. I tried sprays and stuff to deter them, and they just keep coming.
Well, they're edible.
At night.
They're edible.
Yeah.
They said he tastes like pork.
Yeah, that's another one you can eat, I guess.
What part of North Florida are you in?
He's down below us.
Oh, he's down below. Wow. I would say that's more like Georgia.
He's on the coast.
I'm south of Melbourne.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness. You're okay, Valcarey. All right. Well, thank you so much, Rico.
Have a great day.
You too.
You too. Bye-bye now. So, yeah, we don't recommend taking them off yourself and releasing them or
no,
anything like that.
No, we don't want to do that. You're giving somebody else the problem. Yeah,
but if you're a commercial trapper, they normally have agreements with landowners, and they may own the land themselves, where they can release some of these, but not raccoons. Raccoons can't be taken off the property.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So Tom, when we're let's go back to the wearable bug pod.
Yeah.
And so how did you protect yourself when you're outside? What do you do to prevent
bugs? First of all, I wear a hat. And I learned that when I was a kid in Maryland, because we had flies, biting flies. And you put the hat, we call them sheep flies. They call them yellow eye flies here, I believe. And we put a hat on and they keeps it from buzzing around your head. That's what I'm worried about the most. But you can always put on long sleeve shirts and things. But what you're seeing there is you almost got a screen porch that you're wearing.
Exactly. And your arms are sticking through, so your arms can still get bitten. But it's called a walking pod mesh, and it slips over your upper body for fully enclosed cover. It says, let's get this, you can run errands, commute, or walk outside. I don't know how you would drive in it. But
from what I can see, it'd be kind of tough.
Right. It looks like a portable laundry hamper. And I will tell you, Sarah down in Valrico, she has a Caterpillar mesh covering. It looks like a laundry hamper, too, that she hatches monarch caterpillars, and she did really well with it. But it looks like this invention. Mm. And so it's designed. It's been in the works for some time. But the under-the-weather CEO, Rick Peskovitz, said that with cicada season on the horizon, we decided now is the perfect time to roll it out. But, Tom, it is a laundry hamper.
I don't think cicadas – I've been through the cicada hatch, and I've never had any problems with them biting me, pinching me, or anything. They're interested in the rose family plants, the cherry trees, and things of that nature.
I don't think it's a problem.
Now, when I kept bees, I would cover up. I had my bee veil and my hat and my – gloves and everything like that.
But bees are pretty calm when they get used to you, you know, being around
them. Yeah, well, some of them didn't get too used to me.
So it's it leaves your arms right. But anyway, so I'd need like $1 million to traipse around in that kind of thing.
But if somebody wants it, it's up online, right?
It is, and I'm going to post a picture of it and a link to it. So speaking of pests, Tom, I harvested some beautiful vegetables, some of my banana peppers and also the habaneros. And tomatoes, the better boys, looked wonderful. But I saw a lot of issues. I saw a lot of leaf miner this year.
Yeah.
Leaf miner was all over three of my tomato plants, and it happened in a week.
Happen quickly. Yeah.
Very quickly. So what would I do, you know, to keep the miners to wreak havoc on my leaves?
If it's just a few, we ignore them. But I've seen plants that look like lace after the leaf miner's been through. So Spinosad is my go-to product, and if you spray that on, it will get them under control. I mean, you still have the little squiggles from the previous ones,
right?
But you don't get a new infestation. And not only that, I get it on some of my seedlings. It's amazing how quickly leaf miner can come in to a screened area, actually.
Yes.
It's a little fly-like insect, and some of them, depending on which one you have. But they'll come into a screened area and put those holes in those young tomato plants, marigold plants. I've had it on all different kind of plants.
Well, the fortunate thing is that we're at the end of the tomato cycle.
Yeah.
So, you know, well, I'll just throw them away. But, you know, that's good. I'll use Cinnasend. But now I also saw yellowing around the leaf edges of my tomato. Is that because of lack of rain or lack of fertilizer?
Could be both, actually. Yeah. But if you're keeping them moist, probably lack of fertilizer. And I got a picture this week from one resident, and their plant was all kind of yellowish. And if it's an overall yellow look, you know it's a lack of fertilizer, and you just got to start picking up on the nutrients. You can do it quickly with one of the liquid products
as
well.
Okay, super. Now, we got a Facebook request, a question on zinnias, and they have these brown spots with white centers all over their zinnia leaves. What could that be?
Well, it's a fungus, that's for sure. Alternaria, probably, and pretty common. Normally, it's common with zinnias later in the season because of the rains coming. So, which makes me think these are very protected. They're staying extra moist. They're getting nighttime watering.
Nighttime watering,
or
is
something
what I was
like
thinking.
That. Yeah.
So have better management practices. So water during the day and maybe not as often. But then there's also a fungicide they could use.
Yeah, several fungicides out there. Most fungicides will control the leaf spots. And way back when, we used to use copper fungicide. That's still available. Can people, you know, residents consider that a natural product? But there's ones like Daconil and a number of systemics that'll control alternaria.
And is it worth it to do it for an annual?
Yeah, I do it if I had the problem with my zinnias. I love zinnias. Mm-hmm. I'm a zinnia nut. I have them all in the garden out there. So, yeah, I would go ahead and put it on.
Excellent. Okay, so now my zucchini and eggplant, they're taking their time to fruit. Yeah. I mean, I've got a lot of flowers, but no fruit.
My squash, I have the yellow crookneck squash, was slow fruiting, but they're fruiting their head off right now.
Oh, good. I've got to go out and look and make sure.
I think we've got a break time coming.
There we go. We do. If you'd like to give us a call, you can give us a call at 407-916-5400, or you can make a free call, 1-888-LAWNS, or you can text Tom at 23680. I'm Teresa Watkins. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. That's 800-398-0651.
Hi, Teresa Watkins here for Black Cow, the mature manure. Most good gardeners know how to get great results. Sun, water, and fertilizer, along with the right soil. Cow manure is the best way to condition your soil. Black Cow is all natural, and it's the best fertilizer with 10 times more manure and nutrients than the other guys. Pick up that bright yellow bag today.
Black Cow, the mature manure. Black Cow.
Tom McCubbin is Extension Agent Emeritus with the University of Florida. Give him a call at 1-888-45-LAWNS. Tom and Teresa will be right back.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today.
800-513-1652. That's 800-513-1652.
Paid for by US Med.
Are you responsible for leading others? Do you struggle with getting everything done? If you answered yes, I hope this will help. When it comes to successful leadership, few things are more important than delegation. There's a great story in the Bible, Exodus chapter 18. A wise father-in-law of Moses is instructing him, saying, "The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. You need to appoint others to help that are qualified." You see, God was showing him that successful delegation means choosing the right people for the right task. This empowers people, giving them authority equal to their responsibility. And delegation involves being there to help with the problems and following up on your team's progress, accountability. God's Word shows us that one of the keys to successful leadership is delegation. This is Bryant Wright, speaking right from my heart.
For more on this and other topics, visit rightfromtheheart.org.
And we're back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm sorry.
You were in your backyard, right?
I was almost in my backyard. There you go. Longtime memories there. You know, with the rain, and I'm surprised, Tom, Putnam County and Marion County in April had over 9 inches of rain in April.
I know.
You don't see that even in the summertime.
When you could see the rain just going through that area there, missing us, missing North Florida.
Exactly.
And South Florida, of course, yeah.
But but my rain lilies must have gotten enough because they started blooming. And rain lilies are wonderful. They are a crocus-like flower. And so if you like bulbs and you like that crocus look, you can have rain lilies during the summertime. I love them because they don't get any pest problems. They don't need any care, don't need fertilizer, and they just grow very naturally as a border. I like to use them.
Yeah, what do you have, the pink one out right now?
I have the pink one out right now, but the white one with the pink throat is coming out too as well. And then in about July, June and July, I get the yellow one.
Yeah, I have all three of them also.
It's gorgeous. But you can get them in orange and various shades of red and various shades of pink too as well.
Yeah. Hard to find them.
It is. You have to go online and get them. The white Adamasco rain lily is native, and you can find that usually pretty much anywhere. The other plant I bought, I was very excited, was at Avonberry's, but you can find, in my research, you can find this plant in most box stores, the White Rose of Sharon. Mm-hmm. Now, you have the purple one.
I have the purple one, yeah.
Beautiful plant in the mallow family, but this White Rose of Sharon is called White Chiffon, and it's got that frilly look, and it's beautiful. Dark green leaves. It likes full sun. They do need a little bit of moisture. Yeah. So they are a plant that needs moisture, but a hibiscus needs moisture too. Yeah.
I've just found that the Rose of Sharon doesn't do as well here as it does up north.
Oh, of course. There's a lot of plants that do that. But if I could say I have a White Rose of Sharon in
you got it made.
I'm a plant geek. I love doing that.
I have to tell you a little story about the Rose of Sharon and Forsythia, okay?
Okay.
We had them lining a path, and the path would go to the outhouse. We grew up in the country, folks, and so it was on each side of the outhouse as you went down there. But the Rose of Sharon did beautiful there, and so did the Forsythia. So.
Wow, because of all that fertilizer.
I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Want to do Bill?
Yeah, let's go to Bill in Apopka. Bill, good morning. How can we help you?
Good morning. Enjoy.
Thank you.
My question is, a few weeks ago I heard you talking about a big tomato. What was the name of that?
Belgium Giant.
Yes.
Belgium Giant could grow up to 5 pounds, they say. I think Ed said he was feeling lucky to get a pound. But a Belgian Giant, you can order it in. Tomato Grower Supply has it in Fort Myers, Florida. I'm sure other people do also. But you want to grow the big one?
Yeah, I'm going to try. We had a guy from Pennington Seed come to our Sunday school class one time. And he asked if anybody wanted to grow one. I was the only one who had a garden, and I said, yeah, I'd try it. Well, he said he'd bring me some seed, and I said, what's the record on that? He said, 8 pounds.
8 pounds.
World record's 8 pounds.
Wow.
I said, well, I've never seen any tomato over 1 pound.
Yeah. No, I think the record right now in Florida is 3 pounds, 2 ounces or something like that, and that was in Marion County.
Okay.
Orange County had one at 3 pounds. I weighed that one in.
Wow. Yeah. That's incredible. I wonder how many tomato sandwiches that would make.
I don't know.
Oh, mercy.
Yeah. And, you know, what kind of bread would you put it on?
Now, Teresa, you have Cherokee Purple. That's a good size tomato.
It is a very good size. Mine are just turning purple now, so I'm going to have pictures of it next week.
Oh, but yeah. I got some on the counter. Mine are coming in. My chocolates are coming in. And, my big bees are coming in. And my celebrities are coming in. And I've got a lot of tomatoes starting now.
Yeah, you're doing okay.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, Tony's happy.
I appreciate you. I'm going to try it.
Okay. Thank you so much, Bill. Let us know what happens.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Tony loves his tomato sandwiches, and he says they're delicious. Let's go to Carolyn in Champions Gate. Good morning, Carolyn. How can we help you?
Good morning. How are you?
We are great.
We're fine, yeah. How can we help?
Good. Well, I believe they're white flies on my hibiscus tree. The buds are all covered with eggs and little white things flying around, but you can hardly see them, you know. I'm wondering what to do. I did spray it with an insecticide, and I just watered it with bio-advanced systemic
pre-intrub, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, should I put – when I've had a hibiscus bush, I've pulled off all the buds before on the tree and threw out the bush because it was so bad.
Yeah,
the tree is horrible. Every bud is covered. What should I do?
I think you have more than white flies. I think you have white flies plus probably a mealybug.
Yeah, true. But Confederate roses, which look like hibiscus, They're really susceptible.
Oh, they're
to
susceptible
the
white flies. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But so you've done what you should do. The bioadvanced tree and shrub protect and feed. If you want to do anything else, get a horticultural oil.
Yeah. You want to be careful because hibiscus really don't like to have chemicals sprayed on them.
But the horticultural oil and the bioadvanced tree and shrub protect and feed should take care of it for you. It takes a little while. I mean, it's not fast. It has to be taken up into the plant. But my guess is by next Saturday's program, you should be doing okay.
Okay, you call us back and let us know.
How do I use the oil?
It's an oil spray. You just mix it up, follow the label, Summit year-round oil spray. You can get it at the garden center, and you just spray it onto the plant. So do it during the cooler portion of the day. I like to do it either early in the morning or late in the afternoon.
So it's called Summit year-round oil?
Yes, spray oil. Mm-hmm. And follow the instructions. Okay?
Thank you so much, Carolyn.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Can I talk about the goats?
Yes, let's go to Texas. You've got goats. You're goating me there.
Well, it just says, about 3 years ago, my neighbor's goats chewed off a lot of the bark on my tree. It's a Cerola cherry, and said it almost killed the tree. Since then, the tree hasn't bloomed at all, no fruit. Will it ever fruit again? If the tree's alive and growing, it's going to fruit again.
It's just traumatized. And so I would ask how much they're fertilizing, make sure they've got a good management practices going on. So just needs to recover.
Yeah, but it will flower again. What it did is just set it back into a juvenile stage. And so it will go ahead and flower for you. Just give them our number again here if you want to give us a call.
Yeah, we can take some calls. Joni would like some. So 407-916-5400. Or you can text, or you can call 1-888-LAWNS, and that's free. Colton pays
45
for that.
Lawns.
Oh, I'm sorry, 45 Lawns. I'm sorry, gotcha. And then Tom, you can text him at 23680.
Yeah, if you want that numerically, it's 1-888-455-2967. Okay, got plenty of text messages here, but I wanted to get my goat one done. Let's see, two drift roses. What's wrong with the one on the right? Well, we don't get pictures here, but it says it has yellow leaves that are falling off. What is this? My guess is there's a root problem or a water problem with that one.
Right. I would say, you know, check the root balls. Make sure it's not planted too deep. And then also, too, as well, make sure you're getting fertilizer and that it's not getting too much water or not enough water.
Yeah, dig down and look at the root ball because they don't say whether it's a new one or not, but what I am finding now with all this dry weather is that the root balls are drying out and not as moist as they might be.
Right, especially with the spring and it's been so dry. So that could be the issue.
Okay, here we go. One person's friendly to the squirrels here, and they just said, what you're doing is friendly with the squirrels. The squirrels may not be happy. That's true. Okay, here's a question for you.
Okay.
Does a tumbling composter or in the ground composting bin work better?
Well, I think they both work the same. It's just that you're not going to get as much compost out of the tumbler. You can't put as much material into it. So I like using them in the ground. I think the ground one gets a lot hotter, if you do it correctly. But the tumbler, if you don't have enough space, it's perfectly acceptable.
Here's my problem. Most of the composting bins that are on the market now are small.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need a volume. You need a room for that compost to start heating up, and it takes room. And the tumbler is fine. You can keep mixing it. But, it's kind of hard for it, I think, to get up to that 140 degrees.
It is, and it has to be out in full sun. So you can't have it in the shade or, behind a shed where it's not getting any sunlight.
Yeah.
So, that's I like a 3x3, or a 3x5 composting area in the ground.
In the ground. Yeah, that would work pretty good. Okay, is there a spot treatment for sedge in St. Augustine? Yes, there is. Ortho has a product out, Ortho Nutgrass Killer. And that is available. And there are other products. There's one called Sedge Hammer. When they talk about spot treatment, it means you're just using it in that area, which is fine. You've got to be careful when you're mixing up chemicals. You don't overmix too much for that spot. So normally you can mix up enough for 500 square feet or 100 square feet, or 1,000 square feet, maybe 100 in some cases. The Ortho Nut Sedge Killer has a hose end attachment. So you could go ahead and just hook it up to your hose and use the amount that you want, which would be fine.
There you go. You want to follow the instructions always. Jim in Tavares, good morning. How can we help you?
Good morning. Good morning. I have two issues here. One is I have a rose bush, so I think a Lincoln rose, but it's blooming yellow and red roses. They're beautiful, and the plant is doing good, and everything around it is doing good, but the leaves near the blossom are yellow and wilting recently. And we don't use chlorinated water. We use water from the canal, and we, you know, they're fertilized well. So I don't know what's causing that. And my second question is, I have an olive tree growing next to a hibiscus, and the leaves, you know, they're both thriving and doing so well that their bushes are rubbing against each other, and I'm wondering if that's going to be a problem.
I don't think olives and hibiscus, I think they'll get along okay.
I think they'll be fine. I don't think they're not going to grow together if you're worried about that. And, you know, I think the hibiscus, if it's that tall, I mean, in the olive tree, you know, you might want to keep the hibiscus trimmed down a little bit, but...
olive trees want to get big.
The olive tree is going to get
big.
Oh, yeah. So
it's about 15 feet already.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Here's the problem. I think that the hibiscus won't flower as well because it's going to get shaded.
Shaded, yeah.
No, it's blooming beautifully, but, you know, they're just growing into each other. My fault, I planted them too close, but...
Well, you could always move a hibiscus. I mean, just pop it up and move it somewhere else.
Okay, well, it's about... 7 feet tall.
It will take you a little bit of work, but if I could move 15-foot crepe myrtles, then you could move as well.
I would go through and just let them live together.
There you go. Now, Tom's a little bit more laid back.
He had the one question about the yellow leaves. I'd be looking very closely for mealybugs. That is the first symptom that you've got mealybugs in the tips of those plants. And if you do exactly what we said to the other caller. You go through with the bioadvanced tree and shrub protecting.
There you go. Thank you, Tom. So, Steve in Lake Placid, we'll be getting to your question next. If you have a gardening question, call us at 407-916-5400, or you can text Tom at 23680. I'm Teresa Watkins, and you're listening to Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
There's a great story in the Bible, Exodus chapter 18. A wise father-in-law of Moses is instructing him, saying, "The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. You need to appoint others to help that are qualified." You see, God was showing him that successful delegation means choosing the right people for the right task. This empowers people, giving them authority equal to their responsibility. And delegation involves being there to help with the problems and following up on your team's progress. Accountability. God's Word shows us that one of the keys to successful leadership is delegation. This is Bryant Wright, speaking right from my heart.
For more on this and other topics, visit rightfromtheheart.org.
Hi, my name's Bill, and I drive a truck. My truck weighs 80,000 pounds. When you pass me on my right, I can't see you. Stay out of my blind spots and only pass me on my left, and never linger next to a large truck or bus.
Remember, always share the road with commercial vehicles. A message brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Visit flhsmv.gov for more information.
Teresa Watkins is an award-winning horticulturist and landscape designer in Central Florida. Give her a call at 1-888-45-LAWNS. Tom and Teresa will be right back.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. We have a few more minutes to take your calls and texts. If you would like to give us a call, 407-916-5400, or you can text Tom at 23680. Let's go to Steve in Lake Placid. Good morning, Steve.
Hello, Steve.
Yes.
How are you doing? I have a St. Augustine. I have a Seville variety of St. Augustine, you know, dwarf St. Augustine.
Okay.
And I've got this weed. I've had it for years. And I try in the, I guess, late fall, early winter, I try spraying with 2,4-D that seems to knock it down. I guess you're not supposed to put that on St. Augustine, but it's a kind of a long, broad leaf, and it has a little purple flower on it and a real woody stem. I took a picture of it. I can text it. What's that text number again? I can text it to you.
23680.
23680.
Yeah, it's not going to show up here. Yeah.
It's not?
No. Well, what you do is you send it to one of our emails. Send it to me, tommack1996@aol.com. tommack1996. At AOL.com. We'll take a look at it and see what it is. But if it's a broadleaf weed,
right.
Fairly obvious, and it has a long leaf and has a purple flower on it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a tiny little purple flower.
Okay. How long is the leaf actually? Is it an inch or so?
The leaf is about maybe a half an inch long.
Okay. I think it's beggar weed, which is pretty common and very tough to get rid of. If you can, the problem is finding a formulation of a herbicide that's available at the garden centers that's labeled, you know, for home use.
Right.
Commercial people have a lot of things available to them. The one when it comes to weed and feeds that would probably be effective is the BioAdvance weed and feed for southern lawns because it has some dicamba in it. But
okay.
If you can find
atrazine doesn't touch it.
Atrazine is probably not going to do anything for it, but if you can find products that have 2,4-D on the label for St. Augustine, and some of them will, then that would touch it, like you said, that will work on it also. Got to do it during the cooler times.
Okay, so you wouldn't, I could spot treat it. I have 2,4-D, you know, I can mix up as a liquid and spray. But you wouldn't do it this time of year?
The heat would really probably cause you problems. But, you know, it's got to be a product that has St. Augustine on the label, and that's the main thing you're looking for. But there are some products out there that do have that.
Okay. All right.
Thank you,
Steve. I'll look for it. I'm sorry?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Peter in Sebring. Good morning, Peter. How can we help you?
Good morning. I'm a beekeeper, and I also grow heirloom tomatoes. Recently, I have observed, after the tomatoes are 7 feet tall, that I have tomato borers that are eating inside the core stem of the tomato, and of course, it wilts and dies. Is there anything I can do, or is it lost?
Once the plants are, you know, large and the borers are in the stems, probably not a whole lot you can do at that point, especially when you're starting to see the symptom of decline. Otherwise, one of the natural products, and you have a couple of them, Thuricide is one of them, and Spinosad or Spinosad, however you want to pronounce it, is available also. But you got to do that early before the borers start getting in. The borer is nothing more than the immature stage of a moth that's getting into it.
Oh. So, okay, so it's not related to the tomato hornworm.
Well, yeah, it's related because the hornworm
is a moth
also. Yeah. So they're all related.
Okay.
So you're the unlucky one. You got both.
There you go. But you're getting them. You're getting them when they're really extremely tall. So that's probably later on in the season. So I don't even know if he needs to worry about it, Tom.
Yeah, it's late in the season. They're probably not going to get a lot of fruit set on them. But you know, if you have a lot of fruit on the plants, I'd probably go ahead and do it anyway.
Okay.
So the stenosis is going to help for next year, and it's not harmful to my bees.
You know, I do not know the bee label on the spinosad or spinosad. I'd check it and find out and see what's on it.
Okay.
And also, too, the time of day that you apply it is going to be very important. So the bees, you know, if they're coming out in the early morning hours, then you may want to wait till later on in the afternoon when they're not flying around.
Great.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Peter. Tom, do we have text messages?
We have text messages. Let's see. This one's kind of interesting. What vine can they plant under a large, they say, invasive camphor tree to cause it to decline, to kill it? And they talked about Virginia creeper or skyclock vine. I don't mind camphor trees.
Camphor trees are not bad. I mean, they were planted heavily during the 1950s and 60s. and even later on. And but now, you know, I just don't think they can be invasive. They do push
seedlings
up,
come up. Yeah.
Seedlings come up. But, you know, they're not going to get a vine to make it decline. It's stronger than any vine that we have.
Yeah. And you mentioned during halftime there that they stand up to hurricanes. And they do.
They do. They do. So a little vine, like even a majestic and large vine like the sky vine, which will cover your whole house, won't take down a camphor tree. Yeah. It'll just cover it.
Yeah, Lou Gardens, after the hurricanes in 2004, had oak trees fall down. The park was a mess, but every one of the camphor trees was up and hale and hearty.
Yeah,
so it was just kind of amazing.
I was talking to Perry of, you know, Word of Mouth Tree Service, and he said the same thing yesterday. We were at a consultation. And he said he's never seen a camphor tree go down.
Yeah. The camphor trees are big, and no doubt about that. But, you know, if you wanted to eliminate it, then you get a tree company come in and take it out for you. Because if you kill the tree out, you're eventually going to have to come through and have it taken out anyway. So you might as well go ahead and get it taken out from the start.
Exactly. So if anyone missed today's program, you can go to betterlawns.com and you can click on listen to download the show, or you can hear it on iTunes or iHeartRadio. And you can also go to audioboom.com and you can hear all of the shows that we have there.
Yeah. Got a question for you. During hour number one, we didn't get a chance to talk about container gardens. Do you have favorite plants that you like to put in container gardens?
Well, the good thing about container gardens, depending on the size, you can put anything into them. You can put small trees. You can put large shrubs. So it's just, you know, I like to go by what the theme of the garden is. I like to use topiaries in large pots. But then I also like to do the standard, and this is a major design phrase. You call it thrillers, fillers, and spillers.
Yeah.
And, you know, so containers, there's not a container that I can't plant.
that's great. I like a lot of flowers in mine.
Yeah. They look good. And do you layer them? Do you have multiple different types in containers?
Yeah, I'll do the thriller and the spiller. And
the filler.
Filler. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's good. So if when we come back, if you'd like to give us a call, 407-916-5400. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Quality Green Specialists has a new expanded location at 335 West Michigan Avenue in DeLand. Browse thousands of beautiful plants, flowers, shrubs, and large trees, plus avocados, olives, peaches, blueberries, and citrus, along with vegetables and herbs too. And don't forget our natural fertilizers and organics like azomite. Experience the Quality Green Specialist difference. Great plants, sustainable products, friendly expert advice. Now located at 335 West Michigan Avenue, DeLand, or visit qualitygreenspecialist.com.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Call 800-989-1694. 800-989-1694. That's 800-989-1694.
The wind in your hair, the sun on your face. There's nothing like experiencing Florida's waterways on a personal watercraft. Knowing how your PWC operates will keep you safe on the water. Remember, PWCs need thrust to change direction, so use a controlled amount of throttle to turn. Know your limits, never ride recklessly, and always wear your life jacket. Safe boating is no accident. To learn more, visit the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission at myfwc.com.
Mosquitoes can transmit deadly diseases, including Zika and West Nile virus. But Summit Mosquito Dunks kill mosquitoes before they're old enough to bite. Just float an organic mosquito dunk in ponds, bird baths, rain barrels, and any standing water to kill mosquito larvae for 30 days or longer. Don't worry, mosquito dunks won't harm people, pets, fish, or wildlife. Mosquito dunks are available at fine garden centers, hardware stores, and online retailers. Or visit SummitResponsibleSolutions.com. That's SummitResponsibleSolutions.com. Visit us on the web at betterlawns.com and on our Facebook page at BLG Radio. Tom and Teresa will be right back.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
Are you responsible for leading others? Do you struggle with getting everything done? If you answered yes, I hope this will help. When it comes to successful leadership, few things are more important than delegation. There's a great story in the Bible, Exodus chapter 18. A wise father-in-law of Moses is instructing him, saying, "The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. You need to appoint others to help that are qualified." You see, God was showing him that successful delegation means choosing the right people for the right task. This empowers people, giving them authority equal to their responsibility. And delegation involves being there to help with the problems and following up on your team's progress, accountability. God's Word shows us that one of the keys to successful leadership is delegation. This is Bryant Wright, speaking right from my heart.
For more on this and other topics, visit rightfromtheheart.org.
And we're back with more of your questions and text messages on Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins here with Tom McCubbin. And Tom, if they would love to know more, they can go to our Facebook page and they can like it. And you can even put pictures up online on the Facebook page.
You have some of your vegetables there.
I do. This week I've got my vegetables that I harvested. And what, after the show, I'm going to put the White Rose of Sharon, which is a proven winner's plant, and then also the rain lilies. And I'll put some sources for those up.
Oh, that'll be good. And everybody can see it and enjoy it and go out and get them.
There you go.
Kind of neat. You ready?
Yes. Let's take some text messages.
Okay. Yeah, we got several here, actually. What kind and how much soap should you use as a surfactant for watering plants? You know, I don't play around with the soaps because they're formulated different. Many of them are not really soaps
right
in the beginning. And so you end up burning plants. I go out, if I need a wetting agent or a surfactant, I go out and buy a wetting agent or surfactant. Most companies have one.
Okay, so for people, for gardeners new to Florida or just new to gardening, what is a surfactant and how is it used?
Yeah, surfactant causes whatever you're putting on to spread out and cover the surface better. It's a wetting agent is what it is. Mm-hmm. And we often put them on, put them into insecticides, and it'll cause a better wetting of the surface. We also use it sometimes if we want penetration of water into the ground, and they do make surfactants just for that purpose. So, you know, it's better to get a product that will do the job that you need rather than playing around with soaps. If you want soaps, the rate is about a tablespoon to a gallon of water.
But it depends on the kind of soaps, because a lot of soaps we have on the market now are antibacterial. And when we put that into the ground, that kind of kills the good microbes, doesn't it?
Yeah, it has other things in it. That's the problem. And some of them will hurt your plants also. So that's why I say if you want to use soaps, use something that's very mild and just a plain soap. Don't get one that's extra tough on grime or something like
or
that.
Or antibacterial.
Yeah, antibacterial, those type of things.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, that sounds great.
So you can go to the garden center, especially the independent garden centers. The big box stores may not have surfactants, but independents are more likely to have them for
right
you. Okay. I love my Seville, St. Augustine. This is what the text message says. Because the thickness prevents weeds, but I've been fighting fungus for months. Seems to be getting worse. What can I do? You know, you shouldn't be having any major fungal problems
not
right
during
now
the springtime when it's so dry, but Seville is usually a shade
tolerant. Well, we can grow it either way,
either
but it
way
is shade tolerant. Yeah.
Right. So if it's in the shade, though, and they're watering it a lot, or maybe watering it the wrong time of day.
You start to rot it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be. I was out with a pest control company yesterday, and they did say they've seen a large patch or brown patch. You know, I think it's still kind of rare. They say the temperature moderating, getting low is causing the organism. There may be some of that out there.
That might be. We've been a little chilly.
Yeah, it could be. And if that's the case, it's going to go away as we get into these 80s and 90 degrees. And a large patch and brown patch won't kill the lawn anyway.
Right.
But if it's Seville, the only thing sometimes with Seville you have is it grows so tight and so dense. And if that's the case and it's being maybe over-fertilized, you're getting thatch built up in there, and it may be time you're going to have to go through with a dethatching piece of equipment.
Wow. That's so interesting. So, but they can always go to their county extension office. They can take a portion of their sod sample and take it and, yeah, and find out.
And they want to know where they can send a picture. If you want to send a picture to me, that's fine.
Yeah, you're the expert.
Tom Mack, 1996@AOL.com. Or if you go up on our website, betterlawns.com, just write me. And then I will go ahead and send a response to
Excellent.
You. Okay, let's see.
No phone calls.
Okay, good. This is probably the last text message we're going to have time. Tom, I have a grafted gardenia, 2-inch trunk, was transplanted 2 years ago, no leaves since. Wow. But trunk is still green, color keep, scaly-looking stuff on stems of a bay tree also, bay leaf also. You know, if I had a gardenia, it sounded like it had a rough transplant time.
It did.
There's no leaves on it.
For 2 years?
2 years. So
wow,
they're
he's
they're
pretty
a patient,
patient.
A patient gardener, that's right. So... You know, they sell it, cull it or keep it. I would get rid of it.
I would get rid of it, start over with a new one, and put it in the right location so you don't have to transplant it, and it will do good. Make sure you're fertilizing and watering it.
And you like grafted ones just like I do.
I do. Grafted ones, I do. It helps with the nematode issue, and so it's I love gardenias.
Yeah, me too. I just finished up flowering. And it says scaly-looking stuff on stems of bay tree leaves.
Lichens.
Yeah, it could probably. Be. Or this is on the leaf bay tree. It just says stem. Yeah, you're probably right. Lichens.
Lichens don't do any kind of damage, and it's just they're just a normal, you know. I don't necessarily think that they are, how do I want to say it, hurtful to the tree. But, again, you see them when you see a lot of nutrients and decomposition. So they may be, you know, a situation where the tree is rotting a little bit.
Yeah, the tree's not growing as vigorous as it might. Right. You can use a copper fungicide or something
right.
of that nature, yeah, which there would help go. Out some. So anyway, a couple of things to plant in the garden right now. We're in mid-May, folks, so get things in that you want. Snap beans, Malabar spinach. If you want okra, Seminole pumpkins, things that and chayote, we talked about chayote with Ed a week ago, and I'm sure Ed's going to come back next week, and he's going to have all the summer vegetables that you can be
growing.
They
are going to get busy and start their summer garden. Okay, so I am going to be posting the wearable bug pod for those of you who want to wear one, and so you'll go to the Facebook page and we'll get it. We want to thank Dana Venrick, Quality Green Specialist, for his support and the great information on fruit trees. Joni, thank you for reminding us how great marigolds are. Colton, you did a good job today.
Yes, you did.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to all our callers and texters. Remember to join Tom and I next week for more Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. See you next week.
Here's an important COVID-19 school system update for your local area. If you're concerned about your child's education, please pay close attention to this message. The current school systems were not set up for at-home learning. If you're worried that your child may not be getting the grades they need to get ahead, may be losing self-confidence, or you're worried about them getting into a good college because of their grades, help is available to you. Call Grade Potential Tutoring. They can help with in-home or online tutoring and help your child with any subject and every grade level, even for test prep. They're experts in the home tutoring and online tutoring field and confident they can help you and your child get better grades today. Call now for your free consultation. 800-689-9715. 800-689-9715. 800-689-9715. That's 800-689-9715.